one that you spent like 15, 20 minutes. Maybe someday we'll be back for that. First reading today is from Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 2 going to verse 9. In your pew Bible, it's on page 876. This is a familiar passage, Mark 9, 2 to 9. Here we go. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became glistening, intensely white, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make 3 booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man should have risen from the dead. This ends our first reading.
Thank you, Tim. As we read that familiar passage, young people of our church, and before we go in a completely different direction on the Transfiguration Sunday, or a somewhat different direction on the Transfiguration, from your perspective, and that's key here, not from my perspective or from anybody else in the room's perspective, from your perspective, what is the purpose of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ? And don't worry, a lot of books have been written on it, so we're still trying to figure it out completely. But in your mind, as you're sitting here today, besides the fact that it's the Transfiguration Sunday, and so that's why I asked him, or I had Tim read this passage, what is its purpose? Why is it here? For those at home or those sitting not in the front couple of pews, they set a land speed record for looking at their feet on that one. I mean, that was quick. It was like, whoa, I don't have any idea, because it's a tricky one. But what do you think? Take a guess from your perspective. What is the purpose of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ? And I have all the time I need. So you better say something. No, or I'll just ask you straight out, and then you won't have nowhere to hide. So what is the purpose of the transfiguration? And remember, well, actually, for those in Sunday school, they heard me say, sentence fragments are acceptable in some of these moments. So if you got just little snippets, what do you think? Because it is really important. This marks the beginning of our transition as the church into a new season. So what is its purpose? Why is it here? What's going on in this moment, Jacob? You can look at your feet all you want, but I know your name. So, and as we have said for years, right, not completely knowing a thing is perfectly acceptable, 100% of the way. So if you can only give me this little bit of it, that is acceptable, because that's where you and God are today. Does it mean it's better or worse? It's where you are. What do you think, Jacob? I've stalled long enough, my friend. What's the purpose of this?
Unfortunately, stalling didn't put an answer in my head.
Yeah, I didn't put an answer in your head. So what do you think? Any idea? If you had to guess? No, you're struggling with it. Okay, Susie, help us. Got an answer?
Well,
to you. You said it right, yeah.
Transitioning
or transforming, yes. We got hand motions for those at home, yes.
Transitioning into getting ready for, like, for Jesus dying on the cross.
Let's break this word up. Trans, you said sort of a shift. Figure means? So his body being changed. Sound about right? So it's that moment when his glory is revealed. And although that's a tricky one, right? His glory, as near as we can, as humans accepted, right? His glory being revealed to us in its divine form. Now for bonus points. So if Jesus is on the mountain and he's revealing as much maybe as humanity can handle of his divine self, like in the image, why does he say, don't tell anybody? Because if you were listening, Tim read that clearly, didn't he? He charged them not to tell anyone. Now, this is a guess, okay? You are, Susie's got that very questioning look on her face, a furrowed brow. This is 100% guess, because Jesus never does tell us why the messianic secret is given. So this is sort of what's your perspective. Why keep it a secret? No, nothing, huh? Why would you be able to keep it a secret?
Probably not.
Probably not. Susie says, I couldn't keep this a secret. Yeah, no. Probably couldn't keep it a secret. Jacob, could you keep it a secret if you saw Jesus like that?
I think if I really tried to, I could.
If you really tried to, would you want to? Not really, Sammy? You probably let it slip. I guarantee you I would let it slip. I'm not even going to pretend to be holier than that. I guarantee I would let it slip. I'd be like, hey, do you know what I saw when I was up there and you weren't around? You know, for whatever reason, it's there. But it's the interesting part of the beginning of Lent. That moment when Jesus' glory is revealed as much as we can handle it, I suppose. And yet we're told not to tell anybody. I'm just going to let that sit in there and bake for a little bit for you and think about it. And we may come back to it down the line and see if you have an answer to the messianic secret, because it's all over the place in Mark's gospel. As we spend time in God's word, hearing from Paul now on these same themes, let's go to God in prayer together. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this morning, for our time to worship you, for the struggles and the complexities of the scriptures for us. And how we're not completely certain what everything is in there means for us. And that's okay, Lord, because we ask you to speak now to our hearts and to our minds so that we can hear what it is Paul is saying for us. And as Paul says, it help us to adopt it as we begin our Lenten time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text for today is found in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. It surrounds some famous passages that many of you really like and really know. But sadly or not sadly, your decision on your own, we're not talking about those. We're talking about this today. So it's 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, found on page 1005 in your pew Bibles. Listen and hear God's word from the apostle. And even if our gospel it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as we come to this part in our time together, and as we stop and consider your words, we ask you once again, Holy Lord, to speak to our hearts and to our minds, that as we consider these words, they may be important and transformational to us as we start Lent together. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. God's word, young people, is complex. You did a good job trying to answer that which people have been trying to answer forever. So be encouraged by that. The density of the scriptures as they are presented to you by God through the Holy Spirit, whether you are young or older in the faith, can be challenging. They're complex to read through and to assimilate. But if we stop and we linger over them for a moment, passages like this one from 2 Corinthians, which seemed a bit complex and challenging, might not be as difficult as we think they are. The line of logic can seem straightforward when a first reading says, I don't know what you're saying, Paul. And I don't know how I'm supposed to use this to help me grow. And I don't understand what this transfiguration thing is all about. But I know it's here, so what's going on for us? In the light of this text and of that story this morning, Paul calls the church not only to live in the light of Christ, which we know, but to let that light guide us as we work and serve and care. As we're present with our community, we demonstrate that choice to let that light shine in us. I imagine that topic of the light that Paul's talking about here from 2 Corinthians 4 today can be a bit challenging for us. But before we come to the communion, today I want to work from the outside in, unraveling what God is doing in this passage through Paul's words. It can be a slow process, but the process, again, moves us from the outside to inside the person and to inside the relationship the person has with God and God's word with them. God's light does not advance slowly. It's not slowly played forward, even if we think it is. In our community or in our world. It is continually at work, even if it is a challenge to see it in that moment. Paul's talking about it very clearly. Even if the gospel is veiled or the work is veiled, that light is there. It's spoken about by the Christ who was willing to do what he did so that we could have the communion together. In our world, we notice the things that happen quickly, don't we, when no one is looking. Even though the issues are great or they seem large, they seem clear to us when we're outside of this space. You and I can label them clearly for other people. These are the things or the choices, the events that by definition happen in the darkness of our local culture, and we can see them, can't we? If I had plenty of paper and plenty of time, I could go by you and you could write down every single big thing you see happening that seems to be living in the dark. It's clear. We understand that. They happen in the places where God's light is present. I mean, God's light is everywhere. Yet, they don't seem to be places where God's word is welcomed as fervently as we might have hoped or expected. And that leads us to distraction. Distracts us from seeing what the world could be and what it's called us to do as Christians when we notice only the dark things that are happening. We see those who are living in the dark each day. We see in their lives a posture that can resemble sort of a squinting towards that light. It is as if their very being or their existence would prefer to remain where they are. Paul would use words like darkness or veiled away. They want that. Let's stay away from God. Because who we are and what we want is not what God wants. And somewhere deep inside of us, we believe they know that. But the Christian faith that Paul speaks about here does not stand in the dark. It stands in the light. The light beams from within. In response to this living in the dark that you and I can speak about and do speak about regularly in our world, Paul reminds the church in a phrasing that he uses nowhere else in his epistles about the light radiating or beaming, literally, from within. But even as the darkness grows from within us and could be seen by the community, and the hand of God is witnessable because God has placed us in that exact spot for that exact moment, for those very needs, for that person, that veil can still live, can still grow even as that light beams in us. Or to use the words of Paul directly, the God of this world can blind our hearts and minds to whom God calls us to be. This is a very strong statement that Paul is making. The aim of the Christian life is to live as best as you and I are able, faithfully in response to God's word and movement in our lives. Whether like the transfiguration, young people, or not, we understand it. We faithfully move toward God and toward God's light as the best as we can. It's a consistent calling for you and for me. It is these movements that keep us in the light of the word rather than the surrounded darkness of the community. The darkness in our hearts is veiled away from the community, even as we're aware of the sins and the knowledge around us. As such, a portion of that Christian light doesn't always radiate like it can. But Paul, again, uses words he uses nowhere else to talk about it. When he talks about that light coming from within us, he uses words that symbolize the light living within and beaming out. You're almost like your own flashlight, shining forth the light in a world around you. Only on two occasions throughout the Bible do we even find this word, let alone that usage. The first is in the Old Testament with God when he spends time with Moses. The second is here when we find out about that light beaming from within us. Our adversary, the God of this current age, which is a better translation of this passage, has attempted to take that light which beams from within the church and veil it away. As it is veiled away, we stop caring and serving and thinking and praying and worshiping as God calls us to do. And for a personal anecdote this morning for you as we think about that, as I read this week about the God of this world, I spent a day and a half writing in my journal, what is the God of this world? What does it look like? How do you define it? What would it be? But at no point did I spend any time saying, and how is that light beaming from within? The focus moves away is what Paul's worried about. The dark places have been presented as normal, as what we should focus on. But Paul, in our passage, deliberately reminds the church, beam that light from within, share it out. It is in there for you. All you have to do is, as the song says, let your light shine before. There are times to acknowledge that there's sin there. There are times to acknowledge that it's difficult and it's challenging and we don't know how to move forward. But there are more times and greater times when we are to acknowledge in Paul's mind how that light beams from within and how, as it does, it radiates the presence of God, how God has been with us, how God has taught us, how we've struggled to understand what God's trying to teach us. That's all part of it. That is the gospel of light that we share. The same idea Mark is using when Tim read for us about Jesus on the Transfiguration. That light exuded from him. God's word exudes from us as well. It is in there. And this morning on the Transfiguration, we are reminded of it. And as we are reminded of it, we are reminded of the implication of it. To share it, we must move into that light. All the while knowing that as we move into the light, we will meet resistance from ourselves, from our family, perhaps from our community. It doesn't matter. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a tremendous amount of work. But the Lord that Paul speaks about in this passage is going to assist us. Today is the Sunday that we do commemorate Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up to a special place. And we commemorate the fact that he's revealed to them in a way that has never been done before. It will inform their lives because that light that they see from Jesus, they can begin to believe lives in them. From this moment forward, they will make different choices. They will think differently. Maybe they'll say something. Maybe they'll keep the secret. We know they won't eventually. But this moment will inform them. Something deep within them will speak to them. The things of the dark that they knew, the anxieties that they dealt with, the hesitation, the uncertainty, be left aside. And they will live into who God calls them to be. The same thing is possible for us as we spend time with the Lord in Lent this year. We have all done things that could veil that light of Christ within us. We'll do them today. We'll do them tomorrow. We'll do them the next. But it still is in there, the light that beams, exudes from us. And so the challenge as we partake of the sacrament, as we continue to begin Lent together, as we share the gospel, as we serve and care, is to find opportunities to let it shine forth. It's there. Stoke it. Remind people of it. And as you remind them of it, you do what it is Christ calls you to do. You live as Christ calls you to be. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, let God's light live in you. And as it does, share it with the community. Let us pray together. Loving and holy God, we are thankful to be together today. And as we are with you together today, we thank you for your light which grows from within us, challenges us, shapes us, and molds us, exudes from us. Help us today as we partake of the sacrament to be changed by it, to be moved by it, to be reminded of its power and reminded of the Christ who dwells within us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. My friends, this is the joyful feast of the kingdom of God that we will partake of together. They will come from east and west and from north and south, and they will gather at the table in the kingdom of our Lord. According to our risen Lord, when Jesus was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who trust in him to come, to share in this feast. It has been prepared for you because of the great love which he has for each of you. And so I invite you, as we do each time, to come forward from the back to the front, to grab your elements and to go out the sides, and we will partake of the sacrament together. We'll start in the back. The Lord be with you as you come and partake of the sacrament together
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, our Creator. You brought the light from the darkness. You set the sun to brighten the day and the moon and stars to illuminate the night. Your glory blinds the eyes of our sin, while your radiance warms our needy hearts. You lead us by the light of your truth into the ways of righteousness and peace. Therefore, today we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and with the faithful of every time and place who sing to your glory, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. On a lonely mountain, his human body was transfigured by your divine splendor. In his face, we glimpsed your glory beaming forth for us. In his life, we saw your love radiating out for us. For your image is untarnishable. And the burden of our human sorrow and suffering would not and could not diminish his reflection of your holiness. The world was dark at his death, but the light of his life could not be extinguished. From the grave he rose like the sun, with blinding power and radiant peace. Remembering today your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living, holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. And according to his commandments, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection, and we await his coming in glory for us. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this is Christ's body for us, send us out to be Christ's body in the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together that first prayer, as it is printed in our bulletins together. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to test, but deliver us from evil. Amen. My friends, the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest and betrayal, took the bread, and after giving thanks to his Father in heaven, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of Christ given for you. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread, every time you drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray together. Gracious God, you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Today you have fed us with the bread of life, and you have renewed us for your service. Help us who have shared Christ's body and received his cup to be his faithful disciple, so that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and our love be part of your love, reaching out into the world. Through Jesus Christ, we ask this together. Amen. And now, as we continue in our worship time together, and as we prepare to be the church through intercession in our work of prayer, where have you, church family, seen God at work? Amy.
Just learning all about Transfiguration today. I grew up in a church named Transfiguration Church and never really thought about it before until today. So it was very educational for me after all those years. I would have never been in that church, yes.
Well, wonderful. We are excited.
Half year.
They share an anniversary with us. So happy Roscoe family half anniversary as well. And Amy, we are glad to hear God is at work helping you learn about the Transfiguration. It's a mysterious moment in the life of the church, isn't it? It's a non-repeated moment, but an important. So thanks for sharing with us today. Where have you seen God at work, Bert?
Well,
well, we are indeed glad. I find myself in the same place, just blessed to pay attention sometimes. We are glad to hear that the light bulbs are continuing to fire off and on for you about the Transfiguration. It's a mysterious time. And to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure what Elijah and Moses were talking to him about. Nobody actually ever writes it down. I mean, but it is a mystery, isn't it? What would those two have to say to Jesus? I will just give you the quick historical answer that I've heard before, which is they were reassuring him based on what is about to happen in his life. But I wasn't there, and no one wrote it down.
No, all we know is that Paul wanted to build a booth.
Yeah, one of them wanted to build a booth. That's such a human thing, but yeah, that's all we know. Thanks for sharing it with us this morning. Keep on working the problem of the Transfiguration and see what God tells you. Where have you, church family, seen God at work? I thank you for sharing these with us this morning. As we come to our time of prayer and intercession, do you have today joys and concerns that you would like to offer to Almighty God? Denise, I was looking for you. I know you've got a few from some of our friends, so... I hope I got Coppola right, but we will keep Frank's friends and our family and his family in our prayers as they go through a time of grief. We will remember her sister in Erie who's having some testing done, and we will pray for Bev's son-in-law who has COVID. Are there other joys and concerns today? Kathy?
It's going to be a while yet, unfortunately.
The
medications and
Well, we give God praise for that, absolutely. Yeah. Please, let's end on a high note.
We will, my parents will be celebrating their 66th wedding anniversary on Friday.
As Ernie kind of waves, like, ah. So congratulations, Ernie and Nancy. 66 years on Friday. Wonderful. That is a high note. That absolutely is a high note. And we will keep Amy and Tyler in our prayers. They have full plates emotionally and physically that they're dealing with right now. As well as Victoria. We are thankful that she is getting minimal nutrition. That's at least something, but she's still in the hospital, and as I wrote down, 2 steps forward, 1 step back for her. So we will pray for her and her family certainly today. Thank you. Are there other joys and concerns today? Bert?
Well, we pray for young man Cody.
Yeah.
24 years old, he's got a bad disease. And keep him in prayer. I used to work with him a little bit. I was quick and he was starting.
We will continue to keep Cody in our prayers. He's young, 24, and has got a very serious disease. And then we will also keep Nancy's family in our prayers as members of the family have COVID going around the household. Thank you. Joanne. Do both of them have COVID or just the child? Yeah, I thought what you said this morning in Sunday school, but I wanted to clarify. So we will keep Jessica and her family in our prayers as their child has COVID, and hopefully mom and dad don't pick it up. We will also keep Todd's family in our prayers as his wife has had COVID, and hoping to keep everyone in both of these families safe. We will pray for them. Thank you. Are there others today? Tiffany. We are glad to hear that your aunt's lumpectomy went well and went smoothly. We're glad to hear that. And now as she waits for the test results, we will ask God to be with them and give them the results that they need. Thank you. Steve.
Update on our niece who we're praying for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We will continue to pray for your niece. We are glad that she will not need a second round of chemotherapy as they discovered an autoimmune disorder. It's just kind of throwing some things into a whack there for her, but we're glad that she is doing okay. We will continue to pray for her today. Thank you. Are there others today? Tim.
So just a joy. It was exactly 1 year ago, like this minute, that my wife was in the emergency room. Spent a week in the hospital with a lead up to her surgery there for the diverticulitis. And she's been totally fine for 9-10 months. And it's amazing how fast that year went. This Valentine's Day is way better than last year.
I bet it is. Not just for her, but I'm sure for the whole family. It's a way better Valentine's Day. Wearing black on Valentine's Day, huh?
I don't know. But it's a joy that the lady is 100%. Mm-hmm. God put that surgeon in the right spot at the right time.
Absolutely.
And she had that surgery, and it all went well. And a big motivation.
Indeed. So it's 1 year ago, just about to the minute, huh, that Amy was in the ER. Leading up to that surgery, I remember seeing the Zoom service with you in your room, and you turn off the video and you know, that kind of thing. So seemed like a long time ago, but I'm glad you're doing well, Amy. It was Valentine's, yeah. That's easy to remember. Are there other joys and concerns today? Then let us be the church. Loving God, gracious God, thank you for being with us today in our worship, in our time of fellowship. It brings us joy. It connects us to each other. We are enriched. Whether we are in person together, worshiping virtually, being the community of Plains, being the body of Christ enriches us. It blesses us, transforms us, and we are thankful. We are thankful for your movements in our life. We are thankful for your presence, encouraging us, upholding us. When the issues of our world and the issues of our families and our communities, our co-workers, our neighbors become so great, and we don't know necessarily how to move forward, we are grateful today to have you in our lives, at work, touching us. And ultimately, as we get ready for Lent together, dying for us. We join Denise this morning in lifting up Bevan Rich's son-in-law who has COVID. We pray for a speedy recovery for him. We pray for Roberta's sister in Erie who's got testing coming up. We pray for wisdom and understanding in that testing. Good results from it. We pray for Frank Capula and his friends and family. As Frank has finished his race, he is now with you. Comfort and sustain his family. Be with them in their grief. Help them to move forward hand in hand with you. We pray for Victoria continually, Lord, still in the hospital. We give you praise. We are happy to hear that she is getting some nutrition. It's not enough, we know. But God, continue to be with her. Continue to be with her family. Heal and restore her. Provide her the nutrition she needs, the strength, the end of the pain, the end of the nausea that comes with it. We pray for Tyler. We pray for Amy as she goes through continually this battle with cancer. Watch over her today and her family. We are excited to hear that Nancy and Ernie will celebrate 66 years this week of marriage. Bless them, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God. Watch over them and guide them. We join Bert in praying for Cody, who has a very serious disease. We pray for healing for Cody. For strength as he battles this disease. We pray for extended members of Nancy's family who are dealing with COVID in their household. We pray that that their bodies would recover from it. We pray for Jessica's family as their child has come home from COVID, as they quarantine, keep them safe. We think of Todd's family as his wife has also had COVID. Keep them safe, keep them strong, heal their bodies, help them to fight off this infection. We are glad with Tiffany that her aunt's lumpectomy went smoothly. We give you praise for that. But now as they wait for the results and following the results, the treatment, what's going to happen next, Lord God, be with her. Be with the doctors and staff who read these tests. Give them wisdom and understanding. We are glad to hear an update about Steve's niece not needing a second round of chemo, but Lord God, continue to be with her. Continue to reveal to those who are caring for her the needed treatment and steps for her life. Watch over her. Watch over her family. And as Tim reminded us and provided perspective, we are glad that Amy's surgery a year ago at this time came through so smoothly. It is shocking, Lord, how quickly time is flying, even in the midst of this pandemic. We're glad to see Amy doing well. We're glad this Valentine's Day is different from the others, from the last one. And Lord, for all the needs and the concerns which reside in our hearts, for the struggles that we deal with, the pressures and pains that go with us, be present. Shine forth, help us
so that as we begin our Lent together for this year, we may share the light of Christ with those around us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen.